All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living God, the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know, when you look at that, it says, they themselves show of us. It shows that all the word of God that had come in that place had been, they took it into their heart. They received it. And it showed that they themselves show that what manner of entering in we had unto you. You know, they saw a change. They saw results in the word of God, and that God promised it, but you know, we just give it out and just say the word won't return void. How they turned to God. They didn't turn to man. They turned to God. And when they turned to God, they turned to God from idols. Some people won't even come to church because they think they have all these things they're putting ahead of God, and they just can't. They feel like they're doing him wrong. But God's going to bring him to the place that they see, yes, we can, because we all have need. We have need of the gospel. And they turned from their idols, but they didn't just turn from something. God didn't just deliver them out of Egypt when he did that, but he brought them to something. He brought them to something so much better. And everyone, if you ask anyone, oh, I wish I could change this and change that, it's usually the flesh. But you want to turn to God, and God begins to do a work. And when he does that work, those idols seem as nothing. You turn to everything. The very God that made the heaven, the earth, that's higher, that the flowers that we look at and we say, how did the hand of God, how did he do this? Well, that's the very God that we turn to. We start submitting and reverencing him. Do we know how to reverence a holy God? Do we really know how to submit and come in before him? You think of if there was a king, or just say Jesus was sitting up here today and you walk up and you're going to come before him, how would you act? I mean, maybe you're having a problem. How would you talk to him? What would you say to him? Would you say, now, God, I want you to do this? Or would you just come humbly before him and say, Lord, you know, don't even see the whole picture. But Lord, if you could you take care of this problem? Could you take care of whatever this is? Come humbly before him, making a request, not a demand, and knowing that whatever he does is perfect, even in hard times. But you turn to God. But when they did, it was from the idols. But the reason they did it, they wanted to serve the living and the true God, one God. And that's who we are worshiping. That's who we are serving. That's our walk is before him. So now I want us to go over to Nehemiah. Lord willing, I guess I am because he told me I was. We're going to do the book of Nehemiah and go through the whole book. And some of you have heard it at camp before, but that doesn't mean you've heard it all. And that doesn't mean you got it all. How much of that message did you lay hold of at camp? Because I'll be honest with you, I can only remember just bits and pieces. But when I go in and I begin to study, you're going to see more than you saw the first time. Nehemiah, his name means comfort. He's a comfort of Jehovah. What a nice thing to have that name, a comforter of Jehovah. We're in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 1. Nehemiah had a prayer, and this prayer was for Israel, the Jews. The words of Nehemiah, the comforter of Jehovah, the son of Hilkiah, waiting on Jehovah. Listen to these names. I mean, the one is a comfort that comes from Jehovah. Waiting on Jehovah. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, and that is the month of December. And the reason why you really need to get that month is because when we go further, you're going to see what a real prayer warrior does. It doesn't mean it's going to happen in 5 seconds. Doesn't mean he's going to do it that week that you call out unto him. It was way 4 months later you'll see something that he's doing. It came to pass in the month of Chislu, December, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace. And Hananiah, which is means gracious, he was one of my brethren. He came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them. Now, this is a concern. Sometimes we're not even concerned about it. We could care less. But it's like they came to him. He came to him and he said, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left in the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they answered him. See, right there is a tender heart. You know, he wants to know what's going on. How are they? And they said to me, the remnant, and God always has a remnant. The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province, they're in great affliction. And they're in reproach. And if, as the Lord brings this back to me, they wanted a king. And God warned them what would happen if they had a king. This would happen, that would happen. We're to be under submission to him. Sometimes we want things, and God said, okay, I'll give it to you. Well, they had great affliction. They had reproach. The wall, remember we talked about that last week. What did those walls represent? Walls are protection. They are submission. They keep the enemy out. You are locked in with Christ. You're shut in with him. And it said, but the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. It's totally broken down. There is no submission there. There is no separation there. And this is the burden that Nehemiah has on his heart. Where's the submission? Where are these things that are supposed to be there for God's people? And the wall was broken down, and the gates thereof, they burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, notice Nehemiah, what a burden he has. But he's going to learn something. And I learned so much more by studying this, because it was like, it came to pass when I heard these words, there was a problem. There was an issue. Lord, what do we do about this? He said, I sat down. I sat down. That means you stop doing your own works and you stop trying to, it said, I sat down, I cease from all my own works. And it said, and then I wept. One man. He said, I wept over this. And that meant godly sorrow. Do you know godly sorrow is what's going to bring repentance? Oh, we like the godly sorrow for us, but what about as the whole? They mourned. He said, I mourned. That means he had deep grief. It was a cause of his life while he was in this world. You see, the church or Jerusalem, they wanted a king. God didn't want them to be like the rest of the people. And that's what the church has done. They have let go of the truth of God's word. And now you can't tell the church from the unbeliever. And you really can't from the world. Why? Because they only in the beginning, think back in time. It was just a little leaven came in. Just a little bit. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. And that's what we do. Well, I don't want to tell anybody that this is wrong because, you know, I've got to say, I got to itch their ears. I got to make them feel good. You can't do that because God, I mean, I'll just say me. When God says speak, you speak. You're accountable to him. And he will give the grace that's needed. He give the burden. The burden is there. Nehemiah took it. It said he mourned Well, that was deep grief. That wasn't just weeping a little bit. No, we just seen in chapter 2, 4 months, just in one chapter, 4 months has passed. This man is still grieved. His heart is aching. He mourned certain days, and then he also fasted. When you say that to people, they think, well, that just means you're going to give up food. No. Sometimes God will just have you not be a partaker in something, and he knows whatever it will be. And it could be the thing you love the most. But he's got full attention. Your attention is on him. If you're going to fast, and I learned this way back before I got filled, most people, I fasted. People don't need to know you fasted. It's like that's a drawing to self. Fasting and prayer. He will call you on fast. I'm thank God I had a mother who fasted 12 days, I think. I'm not for sure. 12 days. No food. We're talking water. She was with my father and went up a mountain. But she didn't broadcast it to everybody. We all watched the servant of God. Why is she not eating? And then all of a sudden, after the 12 days, the fast broke. She became hungry. And when she became hungry, she felt bad, like, oh no, why am I wanting food? And I think it was my dad told her, well, maybe the fast is over. And she went ahead and ate, and she was fine. But God will call you on a fast. I mean, he does it in ways. Well, he does it in ways that sometimes you wonder, what is this? Now I know certain areas about fasting. I mourned, I fasted. Well, let me tell you, when he wept, he sat down, he mourned, he fasted, but who did he go to? I prayed. Are you casting all your care upon him? Are you rolling your burden on the Lord? Are you really giving it to the Lord? You're going to be, he was so burdened, it brought him to his knees. But he went before the God of heaven. And the verse that came to my heart, thank God, was, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. They are much higher than yours. And said, he's before God, and he said, I beg thee, or I beseech thee. I request of you, O Lord. But notice, he said, I prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven. Twice. The great and the terrible God. You know, terrible, it kind of just means like fear, reverence, not I'm afraid. Like even Jean brought it out. A woman submits to her husband because she loves her husband, not because she's afraid she'll say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. She's already going to make mistakes, you know, and you're there and you're praying for your spouse, but because you love them. You pray for the body because you love them, because you want them to grow, because you want them to get a blessing. You see, sometimes it's easy to come in and we're burdened and we go, Lord, help me. But then he's going to bring it to you and he shows us it's not about you. It's about my body. I want to take you deeper in this thing. Self-centeredness must depart. Now, when you look at this, he's mourning and he's weeping and he's fasting and he's praying before the God of heaven. And it's for the Jew. He's praying for his people. But God is going to also bring us to the place that he wants us to pray. Lord, there's a change that needs to come in my heart. Search me, O God of heaven, Father. Father, you own me. I am yours. I've been bought. He's going to bring us to the place that there are things that we know and we have heard from God. And he has shown us the right way. He's shown us what he wants to do from our life. And you know what most of us do? Well, I'm sure that ain't never going to happen. Or we just cast it aside and just keep walking. My sheep know my voice. And he wants us to listen. You know, if I would have, my dad would have talked to me. He wouldn't say, I said, and you better answer. He probably would have. But when the Lord talks to us, what disrespect that is, that we don't even stop. We don't even listen. We already know it all, Lord. I don't have time to listen to that still small voice. You know, if the still small voice people were truly listening to this, say me. You put it all on me. It's all right. Still small voice. If I choose not to listen to that voice, and I'm going to look at the earthquakes and the lightning and the thunder and the floods and all the, no. The still small voice is the one who takes you through the flood, through the flight, the fire, up on the mountain, down in the valley, wherever you go, no matter what circumstance. But he wants us to come to the place. And this is what Nehemiah's burden. He's not just going to say, well, look what Israel's doing. Look at them. Look at them. No, he was just like Moses. He identified with them. I prayed before the God of heaven, and I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great, the terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy. When God says it, he means it. And he loves us. And there's mercy and there's grace in the time of need. He said, you keep covenant and mercy for them that love him. Remember, all things work together for good to them who what? Love God. For them that love him and observe his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eye open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of your servant. You know, I looked at that and I thought, wow, Penny, I pray you got your eyes open and that you hear what he says to you. We want God to listen. Are we attentive? He said, I hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. Day and night I've been praying for this. Don't see anything yet. You may not see a change that needs to be in your life. And you've been praying, Lord. He didn't see any change. And he said, I pray thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, of the children of Israel, which we have sinned. You see how he says, we've sinned. Man, you guys, if we would come before the throne of God's grace and say, as a body, we have sinned. We've sinned. We're identified with the rest of the body. Or we're identified with whatever. Jesus was identified with us. He took all of our sin. And he became identified as a man, seeing and having to feel the burden of all the sin of the world. And we think these little tiny things, oh, that's too much for me to bear. We're growing. We're growing. We have sinned against thee, Lord. Both I and my father's house, we've sinned. Are we going to come and identify and surrender? Are we going to admit something's wrong? Or are we just going to cover it over? Well, we don't have to really deal with the issue or the problem. We can just not ever say anything. Come to God. Turn to God. He doesn't want these problems to be there. And so many times people think, well, you know, God has dealt with me over and over and over, and it's been years and years, and I still haven't yielded to him. It doesn't matter, and you're going to find out right here. You'll see why. Remember, we have dealt very corruptly, Lord, against you. We've not kept your commandments, which thou commandest your servant Moses. Now, I want you to remember, a lot of people say, well, you can't keep it. Excuse me. Jesus fulfilled all the law's demands. He fulfilled it. Walk ye in him. The judgment, the commandment, your servant Moses, and he said, if you transgress, remember he told them, if you transgress, I'm going to scatter you abroad among the nations. But, by God, if you just turn unto me, if you just turn unto me and keep my commandments, I mean, it's just let it be the first place in our heart. If you just turn to me, that's all he wants. Turn. Seven churches, repent, or else I will. But he doesn't say, look, I'm going to do this if you don't repent. It said, repent. It's your choice, or I will. He wants us to have the highest reward there is. But I'll tell you, we can't let all those walls and everything just always down and let the enemy just come in. If you just turn unto me, keep my commandments, do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven. Get this, I don't care. He said, yet I will gather. I will gather them from thence. I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. How many times have we done this? Now these are your servants. Remember, he said, these are my sheep. Feed my sheep. Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep, my lambs. If you don't know what a lamb goes through, I don't know how you would ever know how to feed them. I was looking at shepherds this week and their responsibility, and it was like they have to know how to feed them. They know what? How to protect them. They have to go through hot weather. They have to go through cold weather, terrible, bitter times. But the sheep, they follow the shepherd. Why? Because he's tending to them. He's taking care of them, but he knows them. First thing, you got to get to know them. He knows us. And he knows what it's going to take to get us to say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. They're your people. You, thou hast redeemed by thy great power. God knows he did, but we need to remember that. You've redeemed by your great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beg thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer or the request that I'm making to you, attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to reverence your name. They want to fear your name, Lord. They really do. And prosper. And it's, to me, prosper in the things of God. They want to. How many of us don't want to learn more today and grow in the Lord? They desire to fear your name, not to be afraid of you, but to reverence you the way you need to be reverenced. I pray thee, thy servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. But he goes, if you will allow this, I need grace. I need grace. And it came to pass, second chapter, in the month of Nisan, that's April. So now it's gone from December all the way till April. And has anything happened yet? Did Nehemiah say, "Oh, forget it. These people, they ain't never going to yield"? No, he didn't. He kept praying. He believed the God of heaven. "The prayer of your servants," but he said, Nehemiah's request, "it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year," I can't say that word. Everyone tells me how to, or Xerxes or whatever, but I can't say it. "The king, that wine was before him. I took up the wine, I gave it to the king, and now I had not been aforetime sad in his presence." You know, I was his cupbearer. But now he comes and he's before the king. "Wherefore the king said to me, 'Why is your countenance so sad? What's wrong? Seeing you're not sick, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart.'" Nehemiah, are you sorrowful? Is your heart aching? What is it? "Then I was very sore afraid, and I said unto the king, 'Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? Why would I not be burdened? Why would I not be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, are lying in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? There's no submission anymore. There's no reverence.' And the king said unto me, 'What is your request?' So I prayed. I requested. I prayed to who? The God of the heaven. I said to the king, 'If it please the king.'" Do you know Esther said that? "If it please the king, if your servant has found favor in your sight," I need grace, Lord, "that thou wouldest send me to Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I may build it." I want to go back in and build those walls back up. "And the king said to me," the queen was sitting right by him, "'For how long shall your journey be?'" How long do you think this is going to take? "When are you going to return?" So it pleased the king to send Nehemiah, and I set him a time. "Moreover, I said to the king, 'If it pleased the king,'" everything was, "If you could do this, I'm just requesting, if it's okay, could you let letters be given to the governors that'll be beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah? And also a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, because I'm going to need lumber. I'm going to need the things to build with." Well, that's grace. If God calls you to do something, or if the king allows you to do it, he'll provide what's needed to see you through and to get the job done. "He may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, for the wall of the city, for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of God that was upon me." He allowed him to do it. But how many times are we even going before God? Are we even asking him? Intercession for 4 months. How many of us can really say that there's a situation or a person or something, not about yourself, and get on your knees 4 months? How many times have we really come before God and prayed for the saints as a body? Not as me, as one, as a body. You keep going through here, and we're going to see later there are different gates they go in, but I always think of patience with intercession. We got to have it. We have to wait. But we're going to pray constantly, knowing who we're talking to. We're talking to the God of heaven. You know, I was studying Job. I shared this with Pete, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. Then in Job, he said, "I took him by the neck and I shook him." And I went, "What? Yeah, Get up. You need to pay attention to me. Listen to me. And he talked about archers. Do you know they have these arrows? But every arrow that hit Job, you know, he's probably thinking, why have you put me in the hand of all this stuff? Why is this happening? And he goes, every place that arrow hits, it's going to hit the mark every time. Do you know why he shook him? So he could stand up for the mark. The mark. It's all in the scripture. Get ready. And the archers had their arrows, and they hit him. But it got him right where God wanted it. That's where he's bringing change in the heart. That's where he's growing him up. He's giving him more. But he's also showing him a beauty of the archer's arrow. Oh, Lord, you allowed it? Yes. Yes. You just say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. And only by God's grace will we ever be able to do that. Because you'll have to stand alone. It's going to come down to the time you will stand alone. The bride has to learn security in him and in him alone. Just like you marry to one man. He's your security. He's your provider. He's your protector. We talked about it last night. April said, well, you better start helping mom, because if anything happened to you, she won't know what to do. And I said, well, I have a God that does. What happens to his grace is sufficient? What happens to the scripture? I'll be sure if anything ever happens to my spouse, I'll tell you. Take care of the widow. Take care of them. That's your responsibility. God put that in his word. Care for them. Help them. And I believe God is faithful. Will I probably at the moment? No. Will George probably at the moment if something happened to me? No, probably not. He might. He's pretty calm. But I don't want to put him on a pedestal because they have to fall really bad. So, you know, anytime you get your eyes on someone, you think, oh, they're just spectacular. He said, let me tell you something. You are putting them up for a great fall, a big fall. They have to go down so you can see we're all in this together. We're all on the same plane together. No big shots in the family of God. Brother Phil always said that to me, and I'm so thankful. No big shots. If you're a big shot, you're prideful. Sit down. You need to sit down and listen. No big shots. I love that. Well, let's all stand for a word of prayer, and hopefully next week we'll go in further about this, and I would just call this sweet hour of prayer. Where do we go and what do we say? Just say it from your heart to the God of heaven and our Father. Father, I come to you in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you for that name. Thank you for all that Jesus did, that he took this burden and the sin of the whole world upon him, Lord. And Father, even though there are those who are not taking it and rejecting it, Lord, it doesn't change the fact that it is true. You have done all these things, and we rejoice in your name. I thank you, Father, that you sent your Son. And when you did that, you showed the deep heart, the deep love of God, that loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And he came down for each one of us, Lord. I just pray, Father, help us search our hearts, O God. Help us to be humble before you and reverence you in everything we do and everything we say. I ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.